Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
Our message today is going to come from Romans chapter 9. If you would like to follow along in your Bible, we will be in Romans chapter 9. When it comes to salvation, going to heaven, being allowed to live forever in God's glory, salvation, when it comes to salvation, two ways of being accepted are being preached today. Now, let me go ahead and say there are not two ways of being accepted. There is only one way of salvation. There are not two ways of salvation. But two ways are being preached in pulpits today, and only two ways. Of all the pulpits in the world, there are only two ways of being saved being preached. Man's way and God's way. It all boils down to those two ways. Man's way of being saved and God's way of being saved. And let's go ahead and establish that man's way is no way at all. God's way is the only way. Therefore, if a man preaches man's way, the scripture says he's a false prophet. And if a man preaches God's way, only God's way, then he's a true prophet. He's a true minister of the word. The apostle Paul reminded us of this right here in Romans 9 with two stories. He listed them back to back from the Old Testament that spiritually illustrate these two ways. The story of Abraham and Sarah having a son. Abraham had two sons. And the story of Isaac and Rebekah having two sons. All right, now let's look at Romans 9, verse 6. He said, "Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel." Just because a person was born into the nation of Israel, that does not mean the person is a part of spiritual Israel. Doesn't mean that you're born into God's kingdom because of any nationality. Verse 7, "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son." Abraham and Sarah. And then he said, "Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac," Isaac and Rebekah, "for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Now, what is man's way of salvation, and what is God's way of salvation? Man's way is works. The works of the law, the deeds of the Bible. Working, doing. God's way is grace. Man's way is works, and God's way is grace. Works means man has to earn salvation. He has to earn his own salvation. Grace means God freely gives salvation. He just freely gives it. Grace means God is the one who works the works. God is the one who does everything that needs to be done. God is the one who provides, and then He freely gives to the sinner that He's chosen to save everything that He's provided. Salvation is by God's sovereign, promised, provided grace. That's how salvation comes to sinners. It comes by grace. By grace are you saved, not by works. All right, now that's what the Apostle Paul illustrated to us with the story of Ishmael and Isaac. All right, and then right after that, the story of Esau and Jacob. Two boys. Now, I want to give a quick overview of each story so we can see how the illustration of salvation comes not by man's works, but by God's grace. All right, Romans 9, verse 7, it says, "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children." Not all of Abraham's children were God's people. "But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son." Now, I'm sure you know the story of Abraham and Sarah. They were in their old age, and they didn't have any children. The scripture says Sarah was barren. Romans 4 said it this way, "The deadness of her womb." That's what it said, the deadness of her womb. Spiritually, everything in this word speaks of a spiritual message. And spiritually, that represents a sinner before God. All men and women before God. There is no life here. Deadness. In the flesh, there's no life here. And in the flesh, a sinner can't produce his own life. Something that is dead cannot produce its own life. So God came to Abraham and Sarah, and He said, "You're going to have a son. I'm going to give you a son." That's what He told them. "I'm going to put life where life has never been." And He said, "You look to me and you wait on me. I promise I'll do it." That was His word to them. "I promise I'll do it." Well, Abraham and Sarah waited about 25 years and no son. They didn't have a son. So they got to thinking, maybe God was talking about another way. Maybe there's another way. Maybe we're not supposed to be sitting here looking to Him and waiting on Him. Maybe we're supposed to take matters into our own hands. And we can read between the lines. This is what man has done with false religion, this other way. Maybe we need to take matters into our own hands. Maybe He means for us to accomplish this work on our own. Maybe that's what He means. So they decided that Abraham would have a son with Sarah's handmaid, and her name was Hagar. Abraham did. And they had a son and named him Ishmael. As soon as Ishmael was born, God came to Abraham and said, "He's not the one. He's not the son I promised to you. I did not promise you a son through the works of your own doing. I did not promise you a son through your and Hagar's own ability. I promised you a son through the deadness of Sarah's womb. I promised you something that with man is impossible. I promised you something that I must do for you because you can't do it for yourself. I promised you a son through faith in me, believing, trusting, waiting." And He said, "I'm going to give you that son." At the time that God appointed, He did. And Abraham and Sarah named their son Isaac. Now Abraham has two boys in front of him, Ishmael and Isaac. One by the works of his own doing, and one by God's providing. And this is what God said to Abraham concerning those two boys. If you want to look with me at Galatians 4, Galatians chapter 4, verse 21 says, "Tell me, you that desire to be under the law," that means under works, "trying to provide for yourself what only God can provide for you. Only He can fulfill His own promise. And trying to work to fulfill it for Him doesn't work. It does not work at all." So verse 21 says, "Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. The bondmaid was Hagar, the free woman was Sarah, his wife." Verse 23, "But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh." That means that was Abraham's doing. That was Abraham's work. It says, "But he of the free woman was by promise." That means it was God's doing, God's work. Verse 24, "Which things are an allegory." That means an illustration. "Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar." You know that Mount Sinai is where God gave the law, the commandments of the Scripture. That's where He gave the law, the do's and the don'ts. God promised to fulfill this law through Christ His Son. God promised to fulfill His law through Christ His Son. The law, these commandments, must be fulfilled. And God promised their fulfillment through Christ His Son. And the warning is, if a man tries to fulfill through his own works what God has promised to fulfill through Christ His promised Son, meaning if a man tries to fulfill for God what only God can fulfill, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Verse 24 says, "These things are an allegory. These are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children." Bondage to the law, bondage to the rituals, bondage to the deeds. Verse 26 says, "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free," which is the mother of us all. Free from all that. Man's work is bondage. God's grace is freedom. That's the difference. Verse 27, "For it's written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." The children of God's works. That's who His children are. Not our own. Children of God's free grace. God's free gift. Verse 29. "But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture?" What did the Scripture have to say to Abraham concerning the work of his own flesh? What did God say to him? Verse 30. "Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son." That's what God said to Abraham. Cast it out. Cast out your own works. Get rid of your own works. "For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman." You cannot mix grace and works. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. Not even a little bit. It is 100% completely by God's grace alone, not with any work of man mixed into it. Verse 31, "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by God's grace. His work that He performs and He provides, that's the only way God's blessing will ever come to a sinner. That's the only way. The Apostle Paul reminded us of that through this story of Ishmael and Isaac. And then immediately right after that, he confirmed it with the story of Esau and Jacob. Now look with me back at Romans 9. Isaac, this promised son, he had two boys, two twin boys by his wife Rebekah, Esau and Jacob. Esau was the older of the two. So naturally, the birthright, the blessing that a father would pass down to his oldest son, naturally it was assumed that it would go to Esau. He was the oldest. By nature, he was the rightful heir. But while those two boys were still in Rebekah's womb, God said to Rebekah, "I have chosen for Jacob to receive the blessing. Man's way is not my way. Therefore, I've chosen Jacob over Esau." That's what God said was his choice. That's what he was pleased to do. He said, the elder is going to serve the younger. And it's going to be proven through these two boys that my blessing does not come by man's works, but it only comes by God's free provided grace. I fulfill the work. I provide it all, and I give it to whomever I'm pleased to give it to. Now, Rebekah knew that. She knew that all through the life of these two boys. So when they were finally grown, Isaac was in his old age. And again, I'm sure you know this story too. Isaac was in his old age, and the scripture says his eyes were dim. He couldn't see anymore. And it was time for him to give the birthright blessing. It was time for him to pass it along. Now, in this story, we have Isaac, Rebekah, Esau, and Jacob. This is an allegory too. This is a spiritual illustration. Isaac represents the law. He represents the judge. He represents judgment. Esau represents the first begotten of the father. He represents the rightful heir, Christ our Lord. That's who Esau represents. Rebekah represents God's grace that provides a salvation and provides a blessing for a sinner who can't provide it for himself. And Jacob represents the sinner, which is me and you. All right, so Isaac's the judge, and Esau represents Christ. Rebekah represents grace, and Jacob represents the sinner. All right, now, turn with me, if you would, over to Genesis 27, and we'll read this story. Genesis 27, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. He said unto him, Behold, here am I. He said, Behold, now I'm old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, and my soul may bless thee before I die." The judge said, this is what I require to receive the blessing. And he said it to Esau, his eldest, the one it was owed to. Verse 5, "And Rebekah," who represents grace, "heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob." Grace is speaking to the sinner. "Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth." She said, "I will prepare this for you. I'll make it for you. I'll do it for you." Verse 10, "Thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is an hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. I'm nothing like him. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. If I go in my own nature, I'll bring a curse on myself. I can't approach, not in my condition. Verse 13, his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. That's what grace said. That's what Christ said. I'll take it. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loveth. Perfect. Perfect offering. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau. Esau's robe. Esau's covering. Goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her youngest son. Laid the righteous robe of the firstborn on this unworthy sinner. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hands of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, who art thou my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I'm Esau, thy firstborn. Now here's the gospel. Jacob couldn't go in on his own right. Jacob had to go in on the right of another. He had to plead another. He had to go in pleading somebody else's name. The name of the first begotten. That's the only way he would be accepted. That's the only way we're going to be accepted. Verse 19, Jacob said unto his father, I'm Esau thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. He was done for him. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. He said, God did this. This was the work of God. He gets the glory for it. Verse 21, Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. As Esau was, so was Jacob. And that's what the Word of God says about all His people. They have been made to be as Christ is, so are they. Verse 24, And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be every one that blesseth thee. All the blessings that were owed to the firstborn went to that wretched, vile sinner right there. In Esau, he received it all. In the name of Esau, in the robe of Esau, in the sweet smell of Esau, in the work that was given to him and provided for him, he received all the spiritual blessings that the Father had to offer. Now watch what happens to Esau, who represents Christ. Verse 30, And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise, and eat of thy son's venison, that thy soul may bless thee. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? I don't know you. What a thing to hear. Verse 32, Isaac, his father, said, "Who art thou?" He said, "I'm thy son, thy firstborn Esau." Isaac, trembling very exceedingly, said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? I've eaten of all before thou camest, and blessed him, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. You know what our Lord Jesus Christ cried for our behalf? He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was so his people could be blessed. He willingly allowed himself to be forsaken of the Father so that all of his people could be given the birthright. Now, the Apostle Paul in Romans 9, through those two stories, declared to us how salvation comes to a sinner. He said, it is an election according to grace. God gives it to whomever he's pleased to give it to. He gives it to the one it's promised to. God chooses to save his people. God does it on purpose. And God does it in full. And it's not one bit by a man's own works. Anything that a man tries to do on his own will be rejected. Only the work of God, only the work of Christ will be received. God's doing, Christ's covering, grace provides, the provisions of grace. He provided, he freely gave a full work of salvation to his people. And this is what Jonah said, "Salvation's of the Lord." And that's how it is. Salvation is of the Lord. Till next week, I pray the Lord will make these words to be a blessing to our heart.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.